The couple is suing a New Jersey fertility center for what appears to be a major mistake. Drew Wasilewski and Christina Ketterich say they turned to the clinic because they were having trouble getting pregnant. After in vitro fertilization, Christina gave birth in 2013. Around the time their daughter was two, the couple noticed she didn't look like Drew. A DNA test showed the girl was only related to Christina. The now divorced couple is seeking monetary damages and information on who the girl's biological father is. They were interviewed last week on CBS This Morning.
Drew, are you concerned that you may have biological children out there?
Yes. Yes, very much so.
How does that weigh on you?
A lot. If I have other children, you know, I want to know who I am.
It's just one of many high-profile scandals in America's largely unregulated fertility industry. Naomi Kahn is the Harold H. Green Professor of Law at the George Washington University Law School. She's written several books, including Test Tube Families, Why the Fertility Market Needs Legal Regulation. She recently co-wrote an opinion piece in USA Today about the problems facing the fertility industry. Naomi, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you. Delighted to be here.
Well, we referenced just this one case. There are many others, it seems like, out in the news these days about things going wrong in the fertility industry. Can you round up some of what we're seeing out there?
Sure, I can round up some of them. But each week, if not each day, we seem to be hearing new stories. There was just a recent report in the Washington Post about a donor who had donated to a number of families, and it turns out that a number of the children are somewhere on the autism spectrum, and there was no way of finding that out before the sperm was donated. There's another case that was the subject of our USA Today piece, which involved a mix-up in which, just as in the New Jersey case, the wrong embryo seemed to have been implanted in a woman. In that case, in the Carlon case, Ohio case, what happened was the daughter gave her entire family a DNA test for Christmas last year. They all took the DNA test only to discover that the man who had fathered this woman in her mid-20s all of her life was not her biological father. So we are hearing about an increasing number of these cases as genetic testing becomes more sophisticated.
In that piece in the USA Today, you say there's a common problem among a lot of these cases that there isn't enough oversight, especially at the federal level. What is the state of the affairs? Is it the Wild West, basically?
It's totally the Wild West. That's the metaphor that many of us who talk about this at least those outside of the fertility industry, those of us use when we're talking about the lack of regulation. The requirements that exist, first of all, we actually have no idea how many children are born each year through sperm donation. So, and there are no limits on how many children can be born through one sperm donor. So, for example, there could be one sperm donor who goes to, 20 different clinics, donates to each of them. And there could be multiple children. And in fact, there are cases where as many as 400, 500, or 600 children have been born from the same donor. So that could lead to a bunch of different problems, including, as I've already mentioned, this case reported in the Washington Post where a number of children were born with similarities with respect to autism. So that's one issue, is there's no regulation to know how many children are born through sperm. We do have some idea of how many children are born through egg donation, because the federal government does have a procedure in place that requires clinics to report on that. So we do know that. But those eggs, that sperm, they are not tested for genetic diseases. They are only tested for sexually transmitted diseases. So we have no idea what genetically transmitted diseases might be floating around. And then there's no follow-up. So years later, if health problems develop with the donor, there are no ways of tracking just what those health problems might be. And as I said, we just don't know how many children there are who are born through sperm donation.
And some of the creepier stories involve it being found out that a donor had been selected, but it turns out the donor ended up being a doctor or other staffer at a fertility clinic itself.
Oh, absolutely. More and more cases. One of the most famous cases, I mean, 1992, there was a case, Dr. Cecil Jacobson, and I'm based in the D.C. area, so in Virginia, who faced criminal charges because he had used his own sperm. Turns out perhaps the first known case in the United States that involved sperm donation was in the late 19th century, where a woman was chloroformed, was knocked out, and the doctor who was performing the insemination, the woman thought she was being inseminated with her husband's sperm. Turns out the doctor performing the insemination looked at all of the medical students gathered around. They decided who was the most attractive medical student. And it was that man who donated his sperm to that woman. It's not even clear that she even knew that it was not her husband's sperm that had been used. So physicians, doctors using their own sperm to inseminate without the woman or the couple knowing goes back more than 100 years.
Talking to Naomi Kahn, professor at the George Washington University School of Law, looking at the what many call Wild West of the fertility industry in the United States. Naomi, how big an industry is this?
This is it's hard to know because we don't really track it, but I've seen estimates, quite credible estimates, of $2 to $3 billion. Now, I do also want to say that this doesn't mean that everyone should suddenly go out and not trust fertility doctors. Most fertility clinics are highly reputable, do follow industry standards, do what they can in terms of testing, do provide informed consent. So I don't want to lose sight of the fact that many people are able to have children that they would not otherwise be able to have through the fertility industry. It's just that the lack of regulation means that we're going to be finding some problems that crop up that could be solved with additional regulation. But the fertility industry itself provides incredible hope, incredible support for probably close to 10% of all people of reproductive age. So it's just because there are these cases that we're hearing about, just because there's this lack of regulation, does not mean that the fertility industry does not provide an enormous amount of good.
We've seen some states tackle regulations, I think Texas, Indiana, California. Is this something that can be solved state by state?
As you note, a few states have developed laws on fertility fraud. So they've criminalized, for example, the use of a doctor's own sperm for insemination. I think that says if you are caught, then you may be penalized. But it doesn't really help the families who suddenly find out, oh my gosh, I am not, or the child I thought I was genetically related to is not my child. I was told something different by the fertility clinic. So it doesn't really help the families. I think it is an issue where, because there are people with fertility problems who live in every single state in this country, that it's something that needs to be done on the federal level. It's helpful to have states moving forward. They can help provide an example for what the federal government should do. But we do need federal regulations. Federal regulations also means that if somebody donates in Wisconsin, that if that person then goes, for example, to, I don't know, my home state of Missouri, that we know who that person is and we can track that donor. Because donors can very easily cross state lines. Children can be, donor sperm and eggs are sent around the country. And so we need national regulation that will deal with the donated sperm and eggs wherever they are.
You've written that the British might be a good model for us to turn to for fertility regulation. What do you see them doing right?
They have a national system. They limit the number of children. I'm sorry. They limit the number of families that can use any particular donor. They don't limit the number of children. So if one family wanted to have 10 children, that would be perfectly fine. But they do limit the number. So there are limits on the number of families who can use any individual donor, and there is a national registry. They also provide that donor-conceived offspring will be able to find out the identity of their donors when the offspring reach the age of 18. So it's something that will help that many donor-conceived offspring want, of course, not all of them, but it's a situation in which donors know that their identities may be disclosed. What we have in the United States is that even if donors are promised anonymity, with the rise of genetic testing, it's possible to track down all kinds of relatives. So what they have is a national system of regulation that keeps track of the number of children born per donor, and that also keeps track of the testing of the donor sperm and eggs, and that ensures that donor-conceived offspring can find out the identity of their donors.
Naomi, we'll leave it there for now. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Naomi Kahn is a professor at the George Washington University School of Law. We talked to her about recent problems in the U.S. fertility industry and her call for that industry to be regulated by the federal government.